I sure hope Newell is out somewhere basking in this amazing weather with his day off. I'm Dave Cohen, glad to be here, and so happy that Mike Haas is joining us on the live line, the voice of your New Orleans Saints, as the Saints get ready to take on the hated Dirty Birds Sunday at noon in Atlanta. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thanks very much. And so, people that woke up this morning, I can't speak to the North Shore because I woke up on the South Shore. If you wondered, well, what was it like in Irvine, California for a month? That's it. Every day, exactly like you woke up this morning, crystal clear blue skies, those temperatures,
low
and it never really
humidity.
Got warmer. So that was it.
Yeah, we were all very jealous of the time that you got to spend out there with the Saints in training camp in that amazing West Coast weather. But at least we're going to enjoy a taste of it this weekend. A lot of people wondering, though, about just the team getting to Atlanta. Is we have a tropical storm moving out of Atlanta right now after it came ashore as a hurricane in Florida. What are you hearing about in terms of travel plans? Has anything been changed, or is the team going to be able to follow its normal routine?
As of now, there have been no substantial changes of any kind of as normal. I mean, it's, I guess, because they're really on the back end of it from you know, the Atlanta perspective, and they were doing high water rescues earlier in the morning. And so I think there's more about an assessment there, but there's been no real changes. Believe me, I've been all over Atlanta's website, and their training headquarters is in Flowery Branch, which is actually northeast of Atlanta. But there's nothing on their website about if they had to impact practice. It really impacted practices and stuff in Tampa yesterday and today more than Atlanta, as far as I can tell. So it's business as usual, at least for now, I guess, as they kind of go through their assessment process.
So you expect the Saints to leave sometime tomorrow, head to Atlanta, spend the night there, and then play the game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing like that has changed. And again, I don't know only that what, you know, you can kind of find out of what the situation is in Atlanta. It was more of a flooding situation as opposed to a wind. And I'm sure there are power outages, but it's not the – I don't think it's going to be the widespread just from what I've watched from a power outage standpoint, as opposed to the flooding. A lot of the stuff that they knew they could change, like Major League Baseball had a game Wednesday and Thursday, moved that to a doubleheader on Monday. Some colleges rescheduled games, but there's been nothing of any schedule changes or anything that I've seen for this game anywhere. So kind of, check with however you're getting there, flying or driving. But, because if you're going to go I-10, it means you're going to go between Tallahassee, depending on how you want to go, you can take different routes, but you just got to be careful as you're driving east as to what you'll encounter.
In terms of fans trying to get to the game, yeah. And we have seen a number of flight cancellations, obviously, yesterday and today. And with Atlanta being such a huge hub, we'll have to wait and see how long it takes to get everything back to normal once Helene has moved out and they're able to make sure that it is safe to fly in and out and that they have the power situation and the flooding situation under control. So that aside, hopefully it's business as usual at noon on Sunday for the Saints. Mike, you think we're going to see the Saints we saw last week or the Saints we saw the first 2 weeks on the field in Atlanta?
Well, that's clearly the question, right? I mean, it's probably somewhere in between. Were they 91 points in the first two games, 12 in week three? There's no magic potion. Like, Philadelphia had a really good defensive scheme, stacked the line, but their defensive tackles, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, are two of the best in the game. And so you just can't go, all right, well, that's what they did, and we'll do that, Atlanta's defense, and be successful. You kind of are who you are. You don't make massive kind of changes. But Dennis Allen's already said that, yeah, he expects to see some of that kind of stacking the line with Atlanta, just because that's what worked. And so this is not, from a Saints standpoint, you know what they're going to do. They're going to try to stop the run and make you throw out of it, or either be successful running the football or throw to work your way out of it, make them pay for stacking the line. And you're right. You don't know. I think probably offensively they were enormously efficient and executed everything that they wanted to in weeks one and two and didn't in week three, but yet still offensively scored the touchdown late to take the lead. hold on at the end. So I'm not sure. These games are always pretty gritty, pretty, you know, tightly contested. There may be a touchdown towards the end that makes the score 7 or 10, something like that, one side or the other. But for the most part, man, it's about, you know, turnovers, who can kind of really make the most of turnovers if they get them. Both teams, you know, Atlanta has struggled mightily on third down and in the red zone, and the Saints have been pretty proficient on third down and the red zone. Just, you know, didn't move the ball very well last week against Philly. But, you know, from a red zone and third down standpoint, the Saints just got to keep doing what they're doing, because they've been, you know, 53% on third down. That's second best in the NFL. And then the red zone, 75%. That's third best in the NFL. So you just, you know, you got to put whatever happened with Philadelphia behind, you know, flush that out, and just this is such a big one, and both teams are kind of facing similar problems, you know, from an offensive line standpoint, center and another offensive lineman, a tackle for them, Cesar Ruiz, a guard, but so neither he nor Caleb McGarry, the tackle for Atlanta, have practiced this week. We'll have to wait and see about today, and both centers, Drew Dahlman and Eric McCoy, on IR. So it's kind of weird that you have two offensive linemen injured for,
and particularly
for this
at
game.
The center and position, which is so wildly important. But
right.
I guess you hope that last week the Saints go into a game and lose their center on the first drive. Hopefully Derek Carr now, and having a week to work with his now new center going forward, they'll be better on the same page and they'll be able to better work together. You think that'll be as much as of a factor, or will the offensive line be a little better this week than they were last week?
It's hard to say, because I'm not really 100% sure as to the route they're going to go, because you have a ton of options from an interior line standpoint. Like last week, they moved Lucas Patrick over to center and used Ali Udo in the guard position. Then they brought up Shane Lemieux, who can play center and guard, from the practice squad to the active roster, signed Chris Reed to the practice squad, another guard. So the question is, do you, because you were able to do it all earlier this week, that Shane got brought up Tuesday, you know, is he your center? Keep Lucas Patrick at guard, and then maybe put Udo at right guard. I mean, you know, now you're kind of impacting two positions as opposed to maybe three if you move Patrick to center. So they've got some options.
Shane Lemieux is a veteran. Who was taking the majority of the snaps at center in practice?
We don't know. That's not real. It's not training camp, right? And so, Dennis plays his cards very close to the vest, as well he should.
The fans may want to know, but we don't want the Falcons to know.
Right. And so I'm not 100% sure as to what they'll do. He says they're both getting some, they're all getting some snaps. It's very much in flux, but he's not going to play his hand with that. But he does, you know, you do have some options. It's just about how many positions do we want to impact. And we don't, you know, for some reason, I would be surprised if Ruiz practiced any today. And even if he did, it would be limited at best. And then, you know, I do not think we'll see Caesar on Sunday, but, you know, who knows?
Got to imagine Derek Carr has a lot to say about who he's going to be getting the ball from, and had a lot of input into that decision of who's going to be playing center for him, huh?
Yeah, certainly think so. But he's done everybody, right? He took Sunday from Lucas Patrick, Shane Lemieux, ton of time in training camp. So, yeah, they've all done it. They've all taken snaps. You get Nick Saldivari back. He was hurt earlier. He's been back. So you kind of, you know, you have, and this is the new offensive lineman, right? I mean, 10 years ago, you didn't have so many of your linemen who played multiple positions. Now it's almost a mandatory that your guard and center, you know, both guards can play all the positions and play center. So you got to have that flexibility, and the Saints do. It's tough from a depth standpoint. It's tough from an Eric McCoy standpoint and Ruiz. I mean, they've been just, you know, stalwarts there on the right side of the line and center.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things working against the Saints last week against the Eagles and why they weren't able to be as productive, not even close to as productive. Also a step up probably in defensive talent. How much do you think Taysom Hill being out of the lineup contributed also, though, to the Saints' lack of production in facing the Eagles? And do you think he'll be back Sunday in Atlanta? And will that make a big difference?
I think it was impactful that he was not there because he just does so many things. It's hard to look at his stats and go, well, you know, if you take away his stats, he's had 8 runs for 53 yards. He was, you know, so 2 catches for 2 yards, but he just does so much, right? He does so much from a fullback standpoint, a blocking standpoint. I can assure you, when it's 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1, as the Saints faced in Philadelphia, where they got stopped on the Alvin Kamara 4th down run, that's Taysom, right? You stop Alvin taking the wildcat on 3rd and 1, and then Alvin getting the carry on 4th and 1. That is definition of Taysom time. So it was impactful on those 2 plays, and I he's been practicing all week. Fully expect him to be playing on Sunday, and it makes a difference because he does so much. He's one of those guys that you have to account for when he's on the field. Where is he? Why is he over there? So just the impact that you had, didn't have to account
for
him.
Yeah, just when he's in the huddle, they don't know where the hell he's going to line up when he comes out of the huddle.
Right, just knowing he's in the huddle is half the battle than when he comes out, because he can be the halfback or the fullback or the tight end or the H-back, and, you know, just kind of having that, when you take that out, that enables Philly to play more of that, all right, we're going to go 6-1 on the front line, and just you beat us because you ain't got Taysom, you know, and Jamal Williams hasn't really run it a ton since the first couple of weeks, so you become a little bit more predictable. But, you know, they weren't able to capitalize on some of the events. They couldn't capitalize on the fumble recovery. They couldn't capitalize on the block punt. And when you get opportunities to kind of
they had 3 right. huge plays that if the offense could have right. scored on any one of those turnovers or big plays, the result would have been totally different.
Right, because you're not always going to play your best football, and that would have been a crucial opportunity to say, we didn't play our best football, but we still came out with a W, and that would have changed the narrative, you know, immensely.
And they'd be 3-0.
Right, and the narrative would be, I mean, think of it, you know, we kind of forget that Monday night game with Atlanta and Philadelphia. I mean, if Kirk Cousins doesn't have that magic drive where he was 5 of 6 and leads him down for a touchdown, they're 0-3, and they are screaming bloody murder for a change of quarterback. So just that one drive has changed the narrative for both teams, at least, you know, from Atlanta's standpoint offensively. But it's the Falcons and the Saints. You know, you can't throw out the stats or the records because it's just so early, right? So it's week 4, then they play Atlanta again week 10, and then that's it from the NFC South. Week 10, except for one game with Tampa Bay in January of 2025. So you play the bulk of your NFC South schedule early. I don't really care for it much, but it's the way it is. So you're going to know week 4 and week 10, you're done with Atlanta.
Talking with Mike Haas, the voice of the Saints, as it is week 4 and we're not done with Atlanta. We got to go to Atlanta and beat the Falcons. Saints, Falcons, noon on Sunday. The odds makers, last time I looked, had the Saints as 1.5-point underdogs. Does that sound logical to you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the Falcons are kind of hard to really pinpoint off from an offensive standpoint. They've struggled. I mean, they're 1-2 and, you know, very, very competitive and had the ball late against Kansas City. But they've only scored, they've averaged 16 points a game, right? And on 3rd down, they are 6 of 27. 6 of 27. That's 29th in the league. And on the red zone, they're 4 of 9. So they just have not really been able to put it together offensively, despite having, you know, all the talent that they do with Pitts and London and Bijan Robinson, and really Darnell Moody, the Tulane, former Tulane receiver, has been really the bigger big play guy, but they just haven't been able to do it. They're -2 with the turnover differential. Just you know, four turnovers and have struggled offensively on third down, fourth down, red zone. So, but they've got such good athletes. I mean, all across the board with Robinson, Mooney, Lundy, Kyle Pitts. So it's going to be tough, even though their stats say that they've struggled. You still got to account for all of those people I just talked about, including Tyler Rozier, Avery Williams. I mean, you just, you know, it is what it is.
All right, so as usual, we expect a tight, good game between the Saints and the Falcons Sunday in Atlanta. Mike Haas will have the call with color analyst Deuce McAllister. Mike, see if Deuce can make some more predictions because he's been clairvoyant lately. He says what's going to happen, and boom, in the next play it happens. So let's maybe get him to predict some really good stuff for the Saints.
I will. We're going to have fans in the pro day 4-6. So we're going to the big discussion that we have to decide, is it going to be Deustradamus or Nostradualimus? So that's those. We have to get to the bottom of this. We've got to get the nickname settled on
my,
this. But
my
you're
vote.
Right. He has been clairvoyant.
My vote is for Deustradamus. Say it again.
Deustradamus.
Deustradamus. Yes. That's my.
You got it. I'll put you down.
All right.
You got it.
Mike, we look forward to hearing you and Deuce today at 4 o'clock and Sunday at noon. And hopefully the Saints come back from Atlanta with a victory and sole possession of first place in the NFC South. Thank you for joining us here on WWL on the Newell Norman Show.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Talk to you all soon.
Go find some time to enjoy this great weather, all right?
You bet.
Mike Haas here on WWL.